Bibles tonight to 2 Corinthians. And last week, praise God, we had such joy in Christ. I thank God to think about what He's been made for us. In Christ, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I love that. He made us for Him, and He made us to be filled with all the fullness of God. He made us to be made to be filled with all the fullness of Him. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, He did. He made His vessels of mercy. And I thank the Lord that upon those vessels of mercy, He'll bestow the riches of His glory. And I thank God in that He made us for Him. He made us for Him to grow up into everything He ever wanted. He's God. Why wouldn't it be that way? Amen. I believe God's going to have His way. And God has a will. And I do, by the grace of God, pray that, again, His grace causes us to want not just the will of God, but all the perfect and complete will of God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that so beautiful about the Word of God? It's always exceeding abundantly above. Exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. He tells us in such magnificent ways that we have to choose to ignore it and the importance of what He's trying to tell us and how He assures us over and over that He's for us and that He has us and keeps us. And that's kind of this next in Christ we're going to get to in just a minute. But everything He ever wanted, He made us for that. The Word of God calls it the good pleasure of His will. Isn't that something? That defines as the ecstasy of God. We can enter into that for Him. You're speechless, but He's God. And I thank the Lord I'm not ashamed of it. And I thank the Lord that I can be a man, a male, and not ashamed of it. I just think it's so sad that, you know, the enemy can use anything he wants. And somehow we kind of put ourselves sometimes as males. Well, how could I marry Jesus? Well, let me tell you something. You better get over that real quick, because there's neither male nor female in Him. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither Jew nor Greek. We're one in Christ. And it just, like I say, the enemy. That's the enemy that wants to do that. And if we'll allow the mind and the ears to hear the things of the winds of doctrine, we're going to be confused. And we're going to reject the truth. And that's why he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. And I thank God that we can be in that realm. And I thank God I'm not ashamed to say these things, because I know that He wants this for me. He wants us that way, and He wants us for Him. And why do we know these things? Well, we're so thankful as we've studied along in this, and I know it's just by His Spirit, but it's because we abide in the remembrance of Paul's ways in Christ. So you'll never get to this message unless you'll submit to that. I had a little note given by a brother that was testifying of the deeper things of God to another Christian. And, well, I'm not going to follow any man. I'm not going to follow Paul. And it hurt my heart, and I know it hurt my brother's heart so much. And it's like, you don't understand. I mean, see, that's what's so sad again. Paul said, you're not following me. You're following me as I follow Christ. And so, you know, how much do we want to reject of what God chose Paul for? You understand that? Just like David. David was his king. Joab didn't like it. Saul didn't like it. Well, it don't matter what you like. It's what God chooses. And God chooses the base things to confound the wise. He always does that. We see it over and over. We see it played out even in our society, doesn't it? Praise God. I love how God does these things. And you better get excited about it. But Paul the master builder, Paul the one, preach no other gospel. My gospel is going to judge the secrets of the hearts of men. It don't say that about anybody else that was given the truth. Because what we were given at this age is called the better thing. Better thing than even those of the Old Testament. Hebrews 11 goes through all of those worthies of faith. It's amazing. You sit there and you praise God for it. But then you should just even burst, as it said, but yet they without us cannot be made perfect. We have the exceeding great and precious promises. And I thank God for it. You know, I tell him, your grace is amazing and timing is everything. Hallelujah. But see, this is the way of the fathers in Christ. And that's what Paul's gospel builds. And we read so clearly and we understand. It says there's 10,000s of instructors. And I love that. I looked up that word instructors. That means teachers of boys. I think that's so cute. There's 10,000s and thousands and 10,000s of instructors of boys in Christ. And I thank God for however Christ is preached. I'm thankful for that. But if you want what I have, that's what Paul's saying, I have to send you one of the fathers in Christ. How, I mean, really, how much more clear could it be? But last week, it culminated, I really felt, in Revelation 5. And I believe the Lord wants us to touch on that one more time. There in Revelation 5, talking about the wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And to think about the importance of the knowledge of Christ. The importance of knowing the Word of God. And what that can be built up in us. Now we understand that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. You understand that this wisdom, in God's wisdom, is one thing. It's love. And I thank God. And wisdom is of the kings. We rejoiced in that last week and saw how elaborate, just in a few places, the wisdom is what kings go after. It's priceless. And that's the wisdom of what God's heart desires. But in Revelation 5 there, in verse 11, it says, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders." So I want you to understand this. You could read this, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, round about the beasts, and round about the elders. And the number of those angels was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." That's 100 million angels. And they're all standing around the throne and around the four living ones and around the 24 elders. And what those 100 million angels say is this, with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive." And those angels are acknowledging those four living ones and the 24 elders in what the Lord is receiving at that moment. And he was worthy to receive this because it was his grace that gave him this. And it's this euphoria of heaven. And it's so beautiful. Worthy is he, praise God, is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Seven things. Perfection. Isn't that beautiful? And there they are together. And you know what was so beautiful too, and just to touch upon, go back to the 9th verse. I just love to rejoice in these things. You know, it kind of gives us a glimpse of the honeymoon. You know what I'm saying? Come on. "And when those beasts give," and see what the beasts give? See, the four living ones, the bride, in the verse 9, they give glory and honor and thanks to him. And notice, it just said that those were just the four living ones, right? Who liveth forever and ever. When that happens, as they give that to him, because that's who they are, because that's what that wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption did in them, to its fullness. When that happens and they give that, the 24 and 20 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. And what do? They cast their crowns before the throne. See, it's just so amazing. Remember the friends of the bridegroom? Waiting for that voice? That's all they're doing. The friends of the bridegroom are with him right now, waiting for the voice of the bridegroom to call his wife away. And now here it is, the picture. Those friends are all around. And he's got her. And they love him so much. And they've been with him for so long. And they know what he's waiting for. And here she is with him. And those 24 elders take their crowns. And they just cast them. A glory that has never been yet seen before. He has her. Isn't that beautiful? And there it goes. They cast him. I'm talking to Moses and Abraham and David and Ruth. Oh my. And what do they say? Oh, thou art worthy, O Lord. They didn't give him this, did they, at this time? Uh-uh. They see him getting it from her. They just saw him receive from her because she gave it to him. And now they say, worthy, Lord, to receive your glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things. Remember that good pleasure of his will? And what does it say? Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure, they, that company, praise God, are and were created. Amen? See how glorious. And it just continues to build in that beauty. And what he desires for himself and us in Christ before the world began. You think of all these things. All right, now let's go over to 2 Corinthians. I think we're revved up and ready to go. And we'll go on here in Christ. Let's go to chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. There's that knowledge again. I mean, I tell you, sermon after sermon after sermon, it's just going to keep coming up and up and up. And it's a savor to him. It's that sweet-smelling sacrifice. It's just everything to him is for us to know him. And to know his desires and to know the will of God. And the word of God says, he that wills to know will know of this will. But tonight, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. One of the most glorious provisions in the word of God, isn't it? Always triumph in Christ. Always. That means at all times. At all times. Amen. Amen. In Christ we triumph. And this isn't just triumphing over, but this triumph, it means to be celebrating triumph. Amen. Do you celebrate the triumph always? Amen. Praise God. It's okay. It's okay. I think about my sweet mom. I always told you, oh, Nancy, you're just living a fairy tale. They get angry when you celebrate triumphing always. Well, you shouldn't be happy about that. Well, sorry, I'm celebrating my triumph always. Is this not what God told us that we have? Praise God, we have this. And we're not just to have it, we don't just have it always, but celebrating always that in Christ we are triumphing over everything. You know what that sounds like to me? A full overcomer, doesn't it? Amen. See, full overcomers, they just celebrate all the time. Amen, we should, because that's who we are, where? In Christ. Are we anywhere else but in Christ? No, that's it. That's what's so gorgeous and beautiful about the Word of God. This is even the much the more that we read back in Romans 8:37, where it says, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So this is just building upon more of the victory that we have in Christ. In Christ. Thank you, Jesus. See, there's no glorying but in him. Amen? And that's why it's always in Christ. And I think, you know, sometimes, Lord, how could I sit still? How could I not just praise you with all that is within me? Amen? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I mean, that was David. And I thank God for that, brother. And as I've been just rejoicing again, no wonder he was the one that brought that ark back. And there was no tabernacle to get through anything, man. It was a tent, and it was called the Holy of Holies, and it was open. Isn't that gorgeous? I mean, really think about that, you know. Solomon had the temple to get back to it, and there was, you know, Moses, same thing. There was courts to get back through there because that's what God said. David, when he came back, he didn't really have, well, we're just going to have a Holy of Holies. I just think that expressed the very heart of God. Amen? That it was just, it's open. And I thank the Lord. That's how he is. And it's all because of his grace. All because of the blood that nailed to the cross. The ordinances and the law that was against us. Amen? Whom he has made free is free indeed. Where there is no law, there is no sin. And now we are the sons of God. And this is just the beginning of thinking tonight about we triumph always. We always triumph in Christ. Now, we need to really think about this. This doesn't say just sometimes. This doesn't say, well, when I'm good. This doesn't say just when I'm walking in the Spirit. This says, I triumph always in Christ. And the reason is because a child of God is in no other place but in Christ. I want us to really understand, this isn't a transitory place. It's a permanent place. It's a forever place. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful that it's always in Christ? I'm hidden away in him. And I thank the Lord. And isn't that what real triumphing is anyways? It's understanding, understanding so many things, but one of the greatest triumphs, I believe, in my life in Christ is really understanding the two natures. Do you think it was a triumph when Paul finally cried out there in Romans, at the last verse of Romans chapter 7? I thank God that with the mind I serve the law, but with the flesh I serve sin. He got it. He got it. He triumphed. He understood about the good that he just couldn't do. And he understood about that evil that he would not, that I do. He got it. And I'll tell you, when you get that, you talk about triumphing. Because then you understand that all this flesh can do to you is lie. Amen. And that's the truth. You have to understand that. Oh, my gut feel. Ooh. How many times we say, I feel? You know? I'd rather say, Lord, I want the mind of Christ to reign. Amen? And there'll be marvelous feelings in the Spirit. But I thank God that we can look to him. Now, his grace, brothers and sisters, is so beyond. And we're talking about mercy that is so exactly extreme opposite of what I deserve. And it's that quickening spirit of Christ in me that encourages me in this triumph, not just, again, when I'm yielding to God, but the spirit of Christ in me can even encourage me when I've just been defeated, amen, when I've just failed. And I thank God that I can understand, as we just spoke on those two natures, thank you, Jesus, that's not who I am in Christ. And I thank the Lord for that. Isn't that wonderful? And it's not an excuse. Brothers and sisters, that's the good fight of faith. And I pray that by the grace of God, we embrace that in such love and wonder that I always triumph in Christ. And you talk about an immediate, it's immediate attitude and heart adjustment. When that really floods in your heart, that even when I fail, that immediate love that comes in, that, Lord, I know this is not who I am in Christ. You don't even see this. Justification is just that. He that is born of God doth not sin, neither can he. That was pretty weak. Pretty weak. But you know it's true. You know it's true. You see how passionately he wants faith? Because you'll never perform perfection in your life. But thanks be to God, I look to the cross. And the Lamb is perfect. And completed it. And nailed all of those things that were against me. And took it all for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, that is love in Christ. That then causes my knee to bend. That's the love that causes my heart to bow. That's the love that causes my hands to raise. That's the love in Christ that causes me to surrender and submit and even yearn for Christ in me to will and do of his good pleasure. Praise God. Oh, I thank the Lord. See, that love in Christ causes me to surrender. See, that's it. And that's how you really begin to walk in the sincerity of the Spirit. It's willingly in love. It's willingly. And it is. It's willingly in love, isn't it? It's willingly in love. It's joyfully in love. It's thankfully in love. I just want to love and to be lovely because of the love of God. It's the truth. And I'll tell you what, I thank God. And I can kind of remember as he was leading me up to finally see that. Quit trying, Jesse. Stop it. You'll never achieve. You can't. I already finished it. Walk in it. Walk in that. Praise God. And I'll tell you, love is the only thing that will transform you. It really is. Faith worketh by love. You want more faith? You're not going to have more faith unless you're going to have more love. And it's the truth. And I thank God. And that's the reality of it all. See, they knew that they were Christians. Why? Because of their love. Because of their love. Not because they had big Bibles. You know, they had nice ties. They sat right. And, you know, they just did great things. No, they loved each other. I know a lot of Christians, it's sad. I mean, do you really love one another? Man, you're as cold as ice. It's the truth. Pecking on each other like a pack of turkeys. You remember those times, Brother Hill, be up here. He said, had to cut them beaks off them things because they were pecking each other to death. Well, let's just keep judging one another till it just all dies out. Amen? And that's what happens. But see, this is powerful. This love is overflowing. And what happens when that love overflows in your life? It flushes you. It's a flush. It brings out all of that, those elements and the weights of this life, the cares of this life. It flushes them out. And I thank God that's what the word of his grace does. Now, what is always triumphing? Well, maybe no one more thrilling to talk about than David. Amen? You talk about a life that's always triumphing. You know, there was that little guy that had a slingshot and a stone. Man, that's triumphing, isn't it? Yeah, always triumphing there. Always triumphing that little shepherd guy that he's the last son. Oh, bring him on out here. Yeah, that's always triumphing. But then, is everybody just rejoicing with David and always triumphing? Well, wait a second. You mean he's the murderer and adulterer and all that too? And he's always triumphing. Amen. See, God taught him really what mercy was. God really taught him what mercy was. God taught him what love beyond David would ever know about love. David thought he was humble. I'll tell you what, stuff like that, that brings humility to where you're lower than low. You know what I'm saying? And that's what God does, and that's called always triumphing. And then he let him be known as the greatest king of Israel. He had him to maintain his throne. Always triumph in Christ. I think about how he took Tamar. She played a harlot, fornicated with her father-in-law. Always triumphing. Huh? Oh, and then I've heard all the sermons about how bad Rebecca was. Oh, man. You know, she just didn't trust the Lord for her son. You know, these pastors, they'll get up here, they'll really tell you about being godly. It's amazing how that woman triumphed doing all those bad things. Teaching that son. Now, you get in there and deceive your dad and get that birthright, honey. This is how we're going to do it. Amen. And that wasn't a little boy at that time. You know that. I believe about a 40-year-old guy. Yeah, Mom, I'm listening to you. Maybe even older than that, actually. I think maybe 60, 70 years old at that time. I think you better listen to godly parents until their last breath. Amen. Praise God. Now, we go on and on in these things. Amen. I think you get it. You always triumph in Christ. What is Romans 8:28 to you? Is it everything? Is it who you are? Do you sing it? Do you sing it every day? Do you say, oh Lord, and we know? Praise God. I know that with you, Jesus. I know that with my brothers and sisters. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God. And I'm so thankful to God. I know we are the called according to his purpose. I know that. And I believe him for that. And I believe that that's the abounding. And it's there for us, God. I just want to let you enlighten my eyes to see it. If you can't be separated from his love and favor, you always triumph. Amen? Amen. If he abides faithful even in our unbelief, we always triumph. Amen? Amen? If greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, we always triumph. Amen? Amen? Amen. And I really do say it is just too good to be true. But that's who God is. That's his plan for us. That's who we are in Christ. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's what always triumph is. And why don't we just take it then? Amen? Amen. Amen. Embrace what's embracing you. Amen. And see, you don't want to doubt this. Why doubt this? I don't want to be double-minded. I'll be unstable in all my ways. I want his mind. And I'll tell you what, that's a rock. It don't move. It's an anchor. Praise God. You talk about a foundation. I don't doubt it. It's mine. He's for me. And I say, well, Lord, I'll just be beside myself, happy. Hallelujah. Now, that is the way of grace. That's the way of grace. And if anybody wants to put a but after any of those things that were just said in the Word of God, then you're going to make grace empty in your life. You're not going to have the fullness of it. And that's a truth. That is the truth. This is grace's way. It's of God. And I'm going to say this too. It's all that God sees in Christ. Go down to verse 17 in the second chapter of 2 Corinthians. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. Isn't that something? And see, this is Paul that we were just reading here earlier too, you know, in these letters to the Corinthians. He told it as it was. There's a lot of instructors in Christ. And there'll be ones that'll corrupt the word of God too. Oh, yes, they do. See, if you're not being preached the whole counsel of God, let me tell you something. You're being robbed. you're being robbed. And he says, look, we're not as many which corrupt the word of God. But it says, but as of sincerity, and I love this, as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. And I thank the Lord for that. This is what God wants to see. This is what God is looking for. And I know some will try to turn this around. Say, well, you know, this is that big old eye looking at me just. No. No, he adores this. This is the one that's looking through the lattice. This is that one's in love and is just infatuated and thankful. He's thankful to hear us praise him. He's thankful to hear us speak of him. And I thank God that, as it says here, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. See, this is our utterance. This is our conversation of life in Christ. It's mercy. It's grace for grace. This is, praise God, Paul's gospel. And I thank the Lord. See, we need to quit dwelling upon us and get into us in Christ. Us in Christ. See, we're heading, as you know, if the Lord tarry, we're heading, it's like the steam engine, to get down into Ephesians. You talk about in Christ. Almost every verse in Ephesians is in Christ. No wonder it's the high watermark of the Word of God, isn't it? Because it just brings everything that we read and all these things, even in all these epistles, and it just goes, here it is. Yeah. Now, I'm going to have to wait. We got to get through some other letters first, too. But we'll be there here soon. And these are good right now. Amen. But see, a little leaven, the Word of God says leaven's the whole lump. When a Christian still holds on to self-works for righteousness, holds on to perfection by their flesh, you're never going to dwell in the fullness of in Christ. You won't. You're impairing it. And this is given clearly, this, turn the page, chapter 3, 2 Corinthians. We'll kind of read just a few verses here. We have a little time. In verse 17 it says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now isn't that wonderful that God the Father sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts to cry, Abba, Father! That's liberty. Praise God. Such liberty. I'm free out of this world. When I have that cry going forth in my life, praise God, I'll tell you what, I know I'm living that life of seated in the heavens in Christ. how wonderful that is. But see, that's where we are. And that is who we are in. We are in him. And I love that. See, the law brought the knowledge of sin and death. The law brought the knowledge of sin and death. Go back to verse 6 of this chapter 3. It says there, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Oh, how precious. See, but the Spirit, and that Spirit, us in Christ. And I thank God that that life is the much more glory life than was even given in the Old Testament. Oh, where are we going in this? Well, let's go on down to verse 9. It says, therefore, if the ministration of condemnation be glory. So, see what this is saying. You know what? That law was a glorious thing. It was a glorious thing because God gave it. And there's glory in that because his Son would be magnified because he would fulfill it. So, if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Now, I like that, to think about exceed in glory. And that's the ministration of righteousness. Well, just
turn your head over to chapter 5 and verse 21, it says there, "For he hath made him to be that sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him," in Christ. So isn't that wonderful that we see there? "Much more doth the ministration of righteousness," that we've been made the righteousness of God in him, "exceed in glory." This is what he's after. He's after glory, praise God, because he is glory. But he wants his glory. He wants that glory, that bride that descends from heaven having the glory of God. She's got it. She's got it. And here it is, this "much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory." Go down to verse 11. "For if that which is done away was glorious," the law, "much more that which remaineth is glorious." The very righteousness of God in Christ. All by the grace of God. All because of that beautiful blood. And then look at 14. It says, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ." See, in Christ the veil's taken away. In Christ, praise God, we have this vision of face to face. Praise God. And it's the much more glory. The much more glory is within that veil in Christ. That's what's marvelous here. And that's just it. Is this in Christ is face to face fellowship with him. Face to face fellowship with him. He wants us to really see into him. And matter of fact, it's because he wants the more glory for him. And that takes you right down to verse 18, which we'll kind of close with this thought tonight. "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord." And that's all because of in Christ. Think about this. We rejoice in the cherubim, don't we? Praise God. And specifically the cherubim that are shown, that were one with the mercy seat. They were part of the mercy seat. They were in the mercy seat. Who's the mercy? Christ. So what comes out of that mercy, or what comes out of him, are those two cherubim. Amen? And they're golden, and they're beaten gold. Yeah, they suffer together with him. They're in the midst of the thorns. Amen? But they're in him. And they come out of him. But they don't just come out of him this way. They come out of him and they look back to him. Everything is about him. Their gaze does not go off of that mercy seat, which is him, which is that blood that's covered upon that wondrous mercy seat. So let's go back and read verse 18 again. "But we all, with open face." Do you know that word "open face"? First of all, the "open" means the veil is gone. It's a veil that's been taken away. But that "face," it means rank. Isn't that something? Look it up. I don't make these things up. Don't have to. You'd take away from it. So that veil being taken away, there's a rank that looks down that's been received from in Christ. "Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord." Now, this glass is a mirror. That face, that rank, looks into that mirror. What that vision perceives in that mirror of the glory of in Christ is what rank that one receives.
Hallelujah.
It's the truth.
Hallelujah.
It's the truth. Amen. And that's the beauty of the cherubim. They're looking into the depth of the blood. How powerful is that blood? How it is. It's all powerful. That blood is all grace. That blood is all mercy. That blood, praise God, the Father, I'll tell you, it pleased him. It pleased him in a fullness of completion that his son was completely made man and finished for us to bring many sons to glory. It's all in Christ, and Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I thank the Lord. I just sit here and I just say, Lord, you know, looking into that mirror is what glory you will be changed into, that image or likeness of Christ. Praise the Lord. I know that glory. I thank God that in Christ, we always triumph. And that is the true definition of a full overcomer. You always triumph. And it's because of this wondrous word. You see that? It's everything, brothers and sisters. It's the word of his grace. And it builds us up. That's the masterpiece. And gives us an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Praise God. Let's stand, be dismissed.